in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now somebody says, ooh, there's that word predestination, and that's another frightful word. Friend, that's one of the most wonderful words we have in the Scripture. This is important, is it not? This is a glorious section. And by the way, this is something that we don't hear much about today, do we? If I wasn't going through the Bible, I would have avoided this. I would have taken something else. I'd have talked about the comfort that there is for the saints, because that seems to be the big theme today of most even fundamental preachers. We're all talking about comfort. This is strong medicine. Some folk won't be able to take the medicine. I'm very sorry, but if you take it, it'll do you good. And we need something pretty strong today in this flabby age in which we live. We need to know that we've been chosen in him, and today to stand for God. It'll make all the difference in the world, in your life. We're treading on the mountaintops in the Epistle to the Ephesians. We're way back yonder in eternity past when God planned the church. I wasn't back there to give him any suggestions or tell him how I wanted it done, but he's telling me how he did it. And I don't want to be unlovely, but I want to say this. He says to me, you either take it or leave it. This is the way I did it. Maybe you don't like it, but this is the way I did it, and I'm the one that's running this universe, you see. God hasn't turned that over to any political party yet, thank God for that, and he hasn't turned it over to any individual, and we can thank the Lord for that. He certainly hasn't turned it over to me, and I tell you, all of us can shout a hearty amen to that and thank him that he didn't do it that way. Now, we mentioned that there are three things that he has done for us here in this matter of planning the church. First of all, we've seen that he chose us. And that was a pretty hard pill, I think, to take for all of us to swallow. I'm sure that we found that a little difficult. The Father chose us in Christ, and the Father predestinated us to the place of a sonship. We're going to see that today. And then the Father made us accepted in the Beloved. Those are the three things that he did in planning the church. Now, I think we ought to make this very clear also, that men are not lost because they're not elected. They're lost because they're sinners. And that's the way they want it. And they've chosen it that way. Now, the free will of man is never violated because of the election of God. A lost man makes his own choice. And Augustine made that very clear, that if there wasn't free will to accept the grace of God, how could God save the world? And if there be not free will in man, how can the world by God be judged? Therefore, we find that God is the one that did the choosing. Now, I want to make a very strong statement today, and I'm back in Romans. You remember we referred to Romans 9. Paul says that there's no unrighteousness with God, and he says if you really think there is, then you better change your thinking, because is there unrighteousness with God? And the answer is, God forbid. And he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Now, let me make this very clear, and this needs to be made today, because I get the impression in many of these evangelistic campaigns today that people are asked to come forward, and that even coming forward is doing something, you see. May I say to you that God says that he's not saving you because you came forward. He's not saving you because you're a nice little boy or a nice little girl. He's not saving you because of the fact that you joined the church. He's not saving you because you have even an inclination to turn to him. God says it's because he extends mercy. And he had to say it even to Moses. You see, Moses could go to the Lord and say, look, I'm Moses. You remember me? I'm leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm something on the stick. I'm really up there at the top. You'd have a little problem getting along without me, I can assure you. Therefore, I want you to hear my prayer. Oh, Moses never prayed like that. You read his prayers. And God said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll compassion on whom I'll have compassion. What did he mean? He says, so then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, will you listen to me very carefully at this particular point? He says, Moses, I'm going to hear your prayer, and I'm going to answer it. Not because you're Moses, because it's not to him that willeth, and it's not to him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. My friend, I'm going to be in heaven someday. And I'm not going to be there because Vernon McGee's a nice little boy. He's not. You just don't know me like I know myself. If you did, you'd tune your radio out. But wait a minute, don't tune it out. Because if I knew you like you know yourself, well, I wouldn't speak to you. So let's stay together, will you? Because we're both in the same boat, by the way. We're all lost sinners. And the reason that I'm going to be in heaven is not because I became a preacher. It's not because I joined the church. It was not because I was, and talk about baptized, I have been immersed and I have been sprinkled. My wife, she belonged to a Southern Baptist church, and she's always prided herself in being immersed. And I said, it's sure going to be funny if we get to heaven and find out that the Lord was really taking sprinkling after all. And that might leave you out, but I'm going to make it because I got both. Well, that's ridiculous. Why? Because, my friend, it's not those things at all that are going to put you in heaven. The reason I'm going to be in heaven is because of the mercy of God. I'm a lost sinner. And until you and I are willing to come to God as a nobody and then let him make us a somebody, you and I'll never get saved. Your best resolutions must totally be waived. Your highest ambitions be crossed. You need never think you'll ever be saved till first you learn you're lost. You're lost, friend. That's your condition. And God is prepared to extend mercy to you. And you've got a free will. And don't tell me you've got intellectual problems. Hurdles to get over. You don't have any. The problem with you and the problem with me was not that we had trouble with Jonah or we had trouble with Noah and the ark. Our problem today is that the Bible condemns the sin in our lives. And that's the problem. Because of the fact when the heart is willing to turn to God, God will save you. Now that is something that's, I know, rather strong, but maybe somebody today needs to say it like this. And he's done this in order that he might bring you and me into heaven someday. When we get there, we're going to find out he did it.